Okay. So we're holding here in instead of Topaz Asia. We had done the first two pieces last year, and now we're holding in page 227, which is a big Teres HaMincha on the concept of Nevuah and Chalomos, being that this was a Cholom, and which was a Nevuah, it's a place to speak about these Inyanim. The Kivan Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now the Teres HaMincha, in case you're not familiar with it, he was a Talmud Rashba. He has like pieces on Inyanim. They were put out, I don't know, a few dozen years ago, very nicely. It has Kabbalah Inyanim, very well explained, a lot of it. You know, it's not a safe, it's not obscure, but it does have in different places somewhat quasi-Kabbalah Inyanim, and a lot of times it's just plain, just talking to an Inyan. Hekim Shara Kashbosh Eskima Lahargo, Miyad Ramaz Abalachalim, Laharis Taisi Bechaloim, Sheshulios Malachalehem. Immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Baal HaChaloyim that he should have this dream come for him. V'kach nigzam v'misha amav v'yoylam, v'sheyag lam Yosef HaChaloyimus, v'sheyidu k'gzerim l'fonev sh'emel HaChaloyim v'nuchon l'vatla. So basically, it's interesting. We see the Chalomos as a way of how Yosef got into trouble. He says that this was meant to be a warning, whether you like it or not, he is going to be a melech. So basically he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Malachim to tell people, and the reason for it is kidei sheyedo oyser shigza magzera hein toiva hein ra ubaze yachsu betshuva shleima shuva lashem. So the purpose of having all of these nevuas to people where Xeris are going to come is in order to have them respond to it. Usually, when it's a bad cholam, to do tshuva. He brings all the names of different malachim. Ukshnigza din bebezen shal malo, miyadu nishma l'chayis ha-kodesh, chayis ha-kodesh shalfanim, and so on and so forth. So this is really the state of the Rambam that he brings, what the Rambam brings in Yesod HaTorah. And he says over here that this is how the Cholam works. I want to explain it a little bit. Why this complicated procedure for Cholam? You know, what betzim does it mean? A cholam is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is goyza something, it is something that is totally abstract. It totally has no form, shape, or specific format. As it slowly begins to, as it comes to us, the further down it goes, so to speak, the more it becomes something of form and substance, until it comes in this world and it takes on whatever shape and form it's going to take on. It can take on different shapes and forms depending on what happens on the way down. Meaning as follows. The Gemara says in Tainis, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Geizah, there should be a drought on a certain country, and then they do tshuva. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he makes the rain go to only to places that need the rain. So the gzera of having only 1 inch of rain is correct, but it goes in the exact place that you're supposed to have it. And vice versa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was goyzer, there should be much rain, and then they mess up. So the much rain comes, but it goes to a specific place that's not needed. Meaning there's there's a gap that of things going from a very abstract way to something becoming a metzias. A cholam means you've tapped in somewhere in the middle. And that's why its shape or form is not exactly as the metzias is going to be. So when you have Shemesh HaReach and Kochavim bowing, this is all a sort of it's still a formative stage. We think with normally, let's say it's a muscle. We're creating a muscle. The truth is, it's a preliminary shape or form of what the eventual gzeira will be, because that's how the Seder Advarim. So Bala Chalayim or Bala Nevuah is tapping into that. So Ishim are Malachim that are closest to human beings in nature. It's a long continuum of a process going. So just like, let's take an example, very simple example. When a person has an idea for something, I have an idea for a house I'm building, I have an idea for a business I'm building. So I make so the idea that I have is very vague. It's something that's going to involve a lot of people tapping into a certain resource. And slowly, slowly it begins to take shape until it becomes exactly the business that I have in mind. So this is also like that. As it goes from malach to malach, it means it takes on a more concrete shape. So isham of these malachim, the adam, the baskol, or the bal chaloyim, and then he brings some more psukim in Daniel, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has malachim, and he writes the psukim and so on and so forth. And this is, by the way, the idea behind Piskatova. It's like, you know, between Yom Kippur and Shana Rabba, when we have people doing Piskatova, saying Piskatova and so on. It's based on a Zohar, but it sounds to us like, I don't say the word contrived, but it's like, okay, we have Elul, we have Rosh Hashanah, we have Yom Kippur, we have Nila. And now, what's Piskatova? And the answer is Piskatova relates to this Indian, where Gzar Din is final on Hashanah Rabbah, but it slowly makes its way down by a step by step and takes on the form of reality that it comes. So there's room for some intervention, let's say a morphing of a gzeira into something else. And then he says, last paragraph, so if somebody has the dag of nevuah, he sees it in nevuah, and the moedia of the piskei dinim, hein gzar din shel tzibur, hein gzar din shel yochid, so how this gzeira is broadcast depends on what madrega. Whether it's hakitz or chalom, both are milas of nevuah. Then it brings psukim for that. So nevuah takes on two formats only, either mara or chalom, and depending on the person, and if that's only if the person is ready for nevuah. If he's not ready for nevuah, nothing comes. Then he says, "Vim zoyis hakat loy timotzei ishe gielachsus elashtav mailus, he moidio umashmiag zadin lanshashenus baruch yir lekim anshe emes aribaskol." So we have a baskol, which is one madriga under nevuah. We have baskol sheher besein aktosh mishtam shimba. It's keilu. The word baskol means there's a kol of nevuah. The nevuah is the kol Hashem that's speaking. A baskol means it's a daughter of that call. It's an echo of that call. It's not a direct voice, but it's some sort of it's a mevaser without that umph of nevuah. Then he says one madrega lo vim pasu emunim bnei adam ve'em yishor shishmas baskol hadava v'agzadin nashabala chalom. So now we have a chalom that is not a nevuah, it's just a chalom, and that's the type of chalom that we're talking about over here. Ki yesh koyach mimun al ze nikra, v'nikra ba'al ha'chalom, shu modil ha'odam ha'roi lo hidio. V'gam b'zeh, Yesh Ktsas Maila Mailas Nevuah Vihihi. So it has some element of Nevuah to it. Ela She'ena Kol Kach Verasim for Sam's Gulas Echanushi. But it's much more obfuscated. V'zeshem Chazal Chaloim Echad B'shishim Nevuah. Valkein Duwa Matalis Anis An Shabbos HaChaloim, because the Chaloim has a Shosh Nevuah. Vodom Chazal Noivlas Nevuah Chaloim, Re'evis Boinein Echdimu Chaloim Nevuah K'nevus Depri. A dream as compared to Nevuah is like fruits that fall off as compared to the fruit itself. Can Noivlas Wa Pri Be'atzmoi? Noivlas are the same apple. Elashlein is Bashal called Tzorchev Le'gilag Mark Pri. It just hasn't become ripe. So a person that has some ruchnistic sense, but it's not ripe yet, and it hasn't really sort of gotten its act together, is going to get a chalom and not a nevuah. V'cheinu a chalom and nevuah ba'atzmel, she'enam yochal oise bebir v'golu, she'en lo yigil l'mailas a nevuah she'bachayim b'hokitz. Okay, so now he's explaining the concept of a chalom of as being the third rung on that ladder, the lowest of these three rungs. There's a nevuah, there's a baskol, and there's a chalom. The distinctions lie in terms of how clear of a message is going to be there. How much are you getting just a vague sense of something? And how much are you getting a clear message? And it obviously keeps going, dropping down. The type of chalom that we talk about, not a nevuah of chalom, just a bala chalom, is a very, very vague message. And that's why there's a lot of things in there that may not be true. It's very unclear from what we saw what's going to be, but it's there. Now he's going to spend a little bit asking himself, what is it that a Navi is required to possess in order to be a Navi? What kohos and so on? Umay zois ha-mailosh ha-magil of ye Navi. Da, sheish be-odom shtei kohos. Koyches hamedaber, vekoyach hamedamer, venikras alku anatika, vealku matkila, veelushte akoyches esha shnei vorm shnoisim oisom, vemalev umoyach haroish, halev noisa koyach hamedaber, vamoach noisa koyach hamedamer, okeshelushte vorm kitikunam itzarabi, vaitzir shavadim sasitzir, vemidemishu kashir, vikamusu vemezgam, בבהירס עצמם, ולהגיע לעמדו ואחר יציל קלקויסם, הרי אלו עבור מוכן לקבל בלי ששי הקויחס. So let's talk about a little bit what he means over here. There are two inputs in a person's, into a person. One is the koach of things that we perceive, things that we see around us and we absorb them. And the second one is things or are things that we sense around us. You know, it's the difference between Koach HaMedamer, he speaks about Koach HaMedaber, Koach HaMedamer. Medaber is something which is a communication. And so a person hears something, understands something, versus as somebody who has input, like we see something and so on. We'll explain it soon. V'adayin tzorich limud v'hergo b'yendash kochos. One has to work through these two kochos. V'al limud v'hergo b'koch ha-medabe, hem limud ha-chochmes, v'adeyas ha-sichles, v'hergo b'mtomit. V'al limud v'hergo b'koch ha-medame, heim alimud b'tchunas nevrom v'tavnisam v'tzirosam askuntam, b'im b'bruei mato, b'im b'bruei mailo, v'sheagurim leida teichnat zozdim yoyna. So he says, one is where I know facts, one is where I understand the essence of things around me. In other words, when I see something like their hair, its essence. The first one, Koch HaMedaber, is a list of facts. It's like I tell you, this person likes this, but he doesn't like this, and he's up at these times, he's sleeping at these times, and so on and so forth. That's sort of in fact, and that's a lower dagger, And then he says, then there is understanding where what we would call like Yiddish, I have a race, the person, the zach, and so on. So these are two kohos where a person absorbs either information or sort of a sense of the essence. It's like, let's say I tell you all the facts about a person. So you know all the facts about the person. Then you meet the person. You have a certain sense about the person that the facts I gave you didn't give you. It may even be that you can't add anything to that fact. So if I give you a list, a very detailed list about Reuven. Reuven is this and this tall, this and this color. He walks this and this way. He talks this and this way. This is his level of intelligence. These are his interests, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I meet the person. There's a different feast I have in meeting the person. Even if I can't, and I usually won't be able to translate in more facts at the beginning. I'm not going to know more facts from meeting him. It's just that these are two inputs, and the seichel controls both. There's some brave people who don't have fear, and there's some people that are very scared. So there is a sense how much seichel a person has, innate seichel, the ability to take and understand and be shaylin of things that come in. That depends on the person. So what he set up until now is as follows. I have two inputs into me, the input of data, facts, information, and the input of sense of things, experience of things, etc. I then have a seichel which absorbs both of these informations, and the better it is, the more I'm able to be makivitz. Let's give an example. Two people meet a person. One of them says right away, I don't like this person. I think there's something the person is hiding. The other person says, I don't know, seems like a nice fellow. So it's the first person is able to understand a lot through the input of the Kreach HaMadami is talking about, the other person not. So the level of which your seichel is able to be shaylit and absorb the information depends for first person. The way he says over here, that's God-given. Now, next step. Don't think that without having also chachma, you can just with an innate ability have nevuah. You cannot have nevuah with an innate ability without a fully developed sense of chachma. It says that by Yirmiyah, as a child, when I was a young boy already, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was menab me. That's not true. Loi shenigla bizman hakatnas vanairus. What it means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me with the ability, but I had to develop it. And so on. So basically he says, we need a few things over here. We need a person has innate kohos, and then an innate level of das that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a person to be shaylit on kohos, and fully developed kohos through chachma and all these inyanim. Those are all the pieces of the puzzle needed for nevuah. And then he says the paragraph 40 and Shariyas Hamalach Hoshmias Lib Many Efshal Misha Omar Al Miluo Vinishlam Bedas of Chacham Gechoyser Hasa Shlemus Tishba Lo Vasecha Loiki Vierbeuk de Spashet Ashtea Kochos Kochamadava Kochamadama Okshiodama Tuna Zoysis Galava Malach Viskasha Sechanush Besecha Nivdol Viyat of you Tomim Viyer Vishim Behokets Koshzok Vishama So then, when a person has all of that, then it's possible for a person to be masik aloikus and nevuah. So let's talk about this a little bit and help clear up some misunderstandings. Nevuah is a type of tfisa and understanding. In other words, when I talk to somebody and the person, when I communicate with somebody, it means the person is capable of understanding me. So if I communicate with a small child and I don't know how children speak and so on, I'm not going to be able to communicate. Not because what I'm saying is not right or intelligent, but the child has no sense of it, and it's not going to work. Nevuah cannot just be chal on a person or Kadosh Baruch Hu decides to navin. I guess it could, Kadosh Baruch Hu do whatever he wants. But nevuah means that the person is capable of understanding a nevuah. He says it requires a full development of those kochos that he spoke about, to be able to be toifes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dibur. If I can relate it to what we said before, since nevuah is coming from a higher place than our world, then the dibur is not going to be of the dibur in our world. Let's give a mashal, if I could use one. Imagine a great artist is speaking to me, and he's trying to explain to me why this painting is not good. He'll use words, but the way he uses the words doesn't mean anything to me. He'll say something about the balance in the picture is off, something about your sense of this or that. I don't know what he wants. I have no idea what he's talking about. These are terms that just not don't mean anything to me. So he can talk and talk and talk, but it's not going to mean anything to me. If I'm an artistic person myself, where I have a sense of what it means, balance in the picture, then he points it out to me. I say, I see. But if I don't have those senses in it, it's not going to work. In this world, real, real world, so people talk to each other in the language we understand. So if somebody's teaching me, he's going to use language if they understand. Nevuah is, by definition, it's a dibur from beyond. It's not a dibur from within. It's a dibur from beyond. If I don't have an ear that can hear it and doesn't have what it takes to absorb the information that's coming in, whether through pictures or through diburim, it's not going to happen. Avim ein dai b'shef aser spas shtehem. The person doesn't have enough seichel that he can be shaylar on both. Or the person could be very smart. The person could be a good bal eitzah, but nevu is not going to have because he's lacking in what it takes to understand and absorb. So he says a person who has it all at the level of the koyach Hamidaber, but not the Koyach Hamidame. So he can get the information, and that comes through a Cholom. But he can't get it by Hakitz, where a person is getting an experience. In other words, like the difference between hearing about something or seeing about something. A Cholom, even if I see pictures, which is always what I see in a dream, but it's not more than telling me something about something. And when I'm up and I get a nevuah, my sense of experience is much deeper. And then he says, "Ulefamim kishiskabel of shefa seichel behakitzis erle masidus." When v'day tekachye beisploini and so on, v'yasovashu misnabe, v'ena kimkoyach hamedamash misoyemer of shefa seichel v'roy nistav koyach hamedama. He said sometimes a person can get a sense of what will be, but it's not a full nevuah either. And then finally, last point that Tzvi Mircha says is, ובין זה שהוא שולם מקורך המדמה, בין שולם המדמה, וזה ששולם משתיהם, כשרואים דובה, אינם רואים על כפי ההרגל, שהוגל בתכונס הנפרואים. When they see something, they see it within the context of what's normal for them. And therefore, he says, sometimes they see horses, sometimes hiring a choshes, sometimes zov, sometimes a mark, so on. Everything in hakel fi hagelam v'limudam v'liyonis v'tsuris. So let's talk about a few points about this. And I think this is it's a kolistic inyan. Other than Ramchal speaks about the Koach HaMedame and so on. Let's try to give it some sort of understanding of a few things. The communicating with someone requires many pieces. And one of those pieces is that the words that you're hearing in are coming from other associations. Let's take an example. A kid learns what a cup is and what a full cup is. So he plays an infinite amount of times with his cup on the high chair. His mother fills it up a little bit and he says, no, he wants more. And she says, you can't be too full. And then once it was full and it spilled out, and then this and that, and he sees his father filling a kiddush cup totally full. So a child, the word cup and the word full mean something to him. Now, when he hears something along the lines of, my cup runs over, my cup runneth over, those words mean something to him because he has a context for it. And he remembers the feeling of having a cup that's running over. And when somebody says a cup runs over, I can somehow extrapolate it to another situation and compare it to something. If a person never had that experience, he lives in a society that has no cups. Everybody drinks straight out of a brook. A, he doesn't know what a cup is, but it's more than that. Doesn't have that experience, doesn't have feeling, doesn't have sense of things. A, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to me only in the language that I have. So it's got to come through symbolism that I possess. I also need to be able to translate communication that hasn't really come down and become part of our world. It's an abstract sense of something, and I have to be able to somehow put words into it. It's like, for instance, you hear a baby cry, or you see a baby ask for something, and he can't articulate, but you have a feel for what he's saying. The Ribbono Shel Olam talks to us in Nevuah with a language that is at least a step above our world. So I need to have the ability to absorb that information, and it will inevitably get translated to the terms that I have in my head. It can't be other than that. So it's always going to get a translation in images I'm familiar with. So let's go through the whole thing. A person needs to have two faculties, medame and medabe. One is more like information. One is more a sense of things, an experience of things. A person needs to be shalom b'chachma so that his mind is shalit and is able to bring together those pieces, it becomes coherent through the Das HaSeichel, it will become translated to the language that he's familiar, and hence you get all of these other terms, these all the other descriptions, metaphors, whether it's a horse, whether it's a path, whatever it is. The difference, I'll add something that isn't talked about here, but the difference in Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah goes beyond self. Moshe Rabbeinu, like the Rambam says, became Dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever. He left his life here. So he's able to get Ratzon Hashem unvarnished. It doesn't have to cross into his language, because he understands the other person's language. So let's take an example. When you hear a foreign language, so if you learn a foreign language, there's a stage where you translate the words into your language, and that's clumsy and cumbersome, but you know that's how you start. Or today you do it through Google, and you get interesting results. Then there's a second darga, where a person is able to just tap into the word, he doesn't have to translate it, he speaks it like a native person. But even if he speaks like a native person, understands it in that context, he needs to be fully absorbed in that world, not to translate it to his own world. Moshe Rabbeinu was part of a world above us. Like Rambam says, he was Dovuk Masur Elam Fever. So his words were exact. We, all the words and instruction culture gives us, inevitably get translated to the terminology that's familiar for us, and therefore we get less. We get things that are not so burr and so on. Okay, this is the piece of Toras Mincha. It's interesting. You have different form variations. And we'll come across in different places. But it's a very important point to them that Nevuah comes through a medium. And we need to have an understanding of what issues the medium brings in, how much it distorts whatever it is that's coming through, how much is telling the person getting it, and so on. That's how we understand when Nevuah is less than perfect. It's always a problem of the aberrations that crept in through the medium or through the person and so on. Okay, any questions, any points, anything?
Rabbi, when the Toras Mincha says that the Navi has to be limit herav kocham adame, tchunas and evram, v'tavnisam v'tsurasam v'askuntam, is that like... He's saying, is that like a science thing, biology? What does he mean by that?
I'm not sure. I'll tell you, in the Rambam's world, Lamashu, Chachma was one continuum. So if I don't understand, if I'm missing some Chachmas, then my understanding of metaphysical things, deeper in Yanim, is also lacking. It was like... They saw it as being one thing. So understanding the physical world and all the Nevroim and the metaphysical world was one long inyan. And that's why if you're missing some chachma, you don't understand it either. That's very much the Rambam. I don't think Toras Mincha goes like that usually. So I'm kind of a little bit interesting. Toras Mincha is the world of Kabbalah more. But they also saw it that way. So a person who doesn't understand things... You have to say also that in those days, science was not a matter of knowing a lot of data, information that came out through experimentation. It was more havana and tfisa in the world around you. It was sort of logical, I guess. So I think it's sort of a binion of what's logical. Okay.
Yosef. Was a Bala Chalomis, he didn't have the Madrega of Nevuah?
So at this point over here, the answer seems to be yes, that he was still young and it was a Chalom, And that's what he's saying, that you know, it's specifically called a cholim. The first full-blown nevuah, well, we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu a few times speaking to Avos, but Moshe Rabbeinu, we find him, and that was also seemed to be less experienced. The Rambam brings an example of Shmuel with Eli when he was young, and he didn't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to him, because it takes some experience, it takes some development.
Yes, sir. The was like about, say, the Chemes Gagamaga, Achmes Ayanu.
Right.
Describing it like with horses and very primitive war. I don't know what's going to, obviously, however it's going to actually be fought, but could it be that Navi translated it?
100%. The world, those Nevuas are given through images that they had. The Nevi'im did not know of airplanes, so there's no way there could be a plane fight over there. But we do have to understand what's the core point of these inyanim. What does it mean that there'll be horses? What does it mean the mountain be split? In other words, forget the facts are facts, but the facts have a teichen to it. And since the vu is just an image, then therefore, you know, like it says, what do you see? I see a shakade, now shakel and love is a raw. That means that sacha kol, the image, is just a metaphor for a certain teichen, for a very specific teichen.
So what made the metaphors that Yecheskel said in the Merkava, what made that more like, you know, dangerous or beyond our ken to look at? Because that's also certain stuff there are described as physical, rainbow and ice and different things.
Right. Because the question is, what is the message in the metaphor? What is it trying to portray? So a nevuah that deals with us, whether we'll win the war, whether there'll be crops, anything of that nature. So by definition, those metaphors, those the teichen that nevuah is not a terribly difficult teichen. But when you're talking about Merkava, even the nimshel is abstract. And it's one thing when you talk about physical things in metaphor terms, so you may be right, you may be wrong. If you're talking about ruchnistic things in metaphor terms, you're running the risk of being like an apikoros almost, because you're describing all sorts of ruchnistic beings in very primitive language.
How do you understand the communications that were received by people like Lavan and Avimelech that seem to be very clear without any of this preparation?
It could be just like Bilam's Chamor spoke. That's where you get the message without the experience of Nevuah. Nevuah is a communication, and part of that is the experience of being Mechobot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to get something done, so he would speak to, so Bilam Chamor also spoke. But the full sense of Nevuah, what a person is actually teifis that only is if you're making yourself. Okay, Agutvach, Kaltev.